This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. Today we're talking about the economic collapse of 2008 and how it's changed the way we think about work, about working late in life, and about retirement. The recession and its aftermath have hit older workers especially hard. People 55 to 64 are having a particularly tough time finding new jobs, and finding new jobs at a time when so many young people are really getting ready to kick back. Joining me in Studio 3 to talk about how working later in life, about having to work later in life, is changing social norms is Katrin Lynch, an associate professor of anthropology at Olin College. She's also the author of Retirement on the Line, Age, Work, and Value in an American Factory. Katrin Lynch, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And on the line to talk to us about the economic realities of the aging workforce is Kevin Cahill, a research economist with the Sloan Center on Aging and Work at Boston College. Kevin Cahill, thanks for being here.
Kevin? Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
I want to kick the conversation off with you, Kevin, because I think it's important to know the economic situation we're in right now and how it's changed during the recession so that we can understand some of the other issues we're going to bring up a little bit later. So before the recession, during the recession, now. Kevin?
Yeah. And hi. So I think what might make a little bit of sense is just to go back a little bit before the recession had started in December of 2007, and just to talk a little bit about how retirement income landscape has changed so dramatically over the last 20 to 30 years. Since the world of retirement has changed quite a bit since the mid-1980s, the traditional three legs of the retirement income stool, which are Social Security, private pensions, and savings, have each experienced quite a change. For Social Security, for example, there's an increase in the normal retirement age from it used to be 65, and that's scheduled to increase to 67 for people born after 1960. There have been very large changes in the world of private pensions. What I consider the old school form of a private pension in the private sector of defined benefit pension plan, where you receive a fixed amount of payments upon retirement, have really been supplanted by the 401k type plans, these defined contribution plans where workers contribute themselves and kind of are in charge of their own retirement assets. That's the second change. And then savings have just been very low. There was an uptick about 5 years ago, but they've gone back down. So the retirement income stool of Social Security, private pensions, and savings is very wobbly. And what you've seen happen is that older Americans have responded to those changes. So up until the mid-1980s, there was a gradual decline in average retirement ages, where people were retiring earlier and earlier. And that came to an abrupt halt in the mid-1980s, and in recent years has actually increased. So older Americans are working longer. And that was the world we faced right before 2008 came upon us. And the uncertainty that we experienced prior to then is just only heightened ever more. So now what you see is older Americans, continuing this labor force participation later in life and delaying retirement.
And, much of that is really contributed to the changes that were forced by the recession, I mean, we should say. You don't have any choice there for a number of things. If you don't have a job, then and most of the companies are cutting back on private pension. There you go. So there has to be some adjustments on the worker side. But what I think is interesting is that you have made the point that there's changes on both sides, worker and employer.
Yeah, that's right, Callie. So one thing that's been pretty up until 2008, the theme or the story about retirement is that it's very diverse. People, most Americans who've had a career job in life don't abruptly stop working. That hasn't happened. That hasn't been the experience for 20 years or so. But the story has been that it's been voluntary, that older workers have wanted to do something different later in life, to try a new career, to just mix it up a bit, as they phase out of the labor force. Since 2008, though, something we're finding is that what used to be voluntary transitions from career employment, for many, are actually involuntary. So people are leaving their career jobs not because they want to try something new or because it's something that they've decided to do, but more or less they've been laid off. So you see lots of involuntary transitions from career employment. You know, and that paints a very different view of the retirement experience for older Americans.
So turning to you, Katrin Lynch, you are a professor of anthropology, and so you're looking at the impact, the societal impact, really, of these very bottom-line economic changes going from voluntary retiring to involuntary, and what does that mean in real terms for people? Talk a little bit about what you've observed in your work.
Right. Thank you very much. So many anthropologists work hard to try to bring attention to how there's social and cultural values that are impacted by economic change. So the kinds of things that Kevin Cahill is talking about, an anthropologist like myself would want to then look and say, how do people experience these kind of economic changes? How do they struggle to reconcile ideals we may have in our society with what they can really do? And so that's what, in the research that I've done over the past 6 years or so, I've been looking at a very extreme case, which is I did a study of a factory in Needham, just outside of Boston, that employs older workers, has an elder sourcing policy where they're really targeting older workers. And it's an extreme case where people there are in their 70s, 80s, 90s. The oldest worker is 100. She's no doubt working right now. And through that extreme case, we can look at how people, you know, all these people who are working there, they may have grown up thinking someday I'll stop. There will be a period of my life where I might go fishing more or I might spend more time with grandchildren. And they got to that expected point and either they couldn't enter a new phase of life or some of them actually did and said, oh, this isn't what I want. And so I'm looking at what kinds of, you know, how do people reconcile that? They see these ideals, but they want to live something else. And how do we make sense of that?
I just want to underscore, because I know this is so hard for people to get around in their brains. This is a company targeting older workers as employees.
That's right. Right. That's right. It's called Vita Needle Company in Needham. And right. The it's a small family-owned business. It's in the fifth generation now. And the fourth generation president in the mid-80s they were having some company transitions and they needed part-time workers. And so they started to realize that the people who wanted to work part-time, who were available, were older workers. So they started to hire older workers. And then the story that this owner, whose name is Fred Hartman, tells is that he started to notice not only are they available, but they're very dedicated. They bring a lot of experience. And so he really focused on staffing the production floor with older workers. And right, the median age of the workers is 74. So that means there's just as many people over 74 as under 74. And it is it seems like a surprising situation that you'd have people, as I said, Rosa, the woman who's 100, she works until 2 o'clock today. So she's no doubt working and she's a productive person who doesn't struggle over what's the meaning of her life. And that's one of the things that I, as an anthropologist, wanted to look at is we get a lot of meaning in our society out of our work. Our identities are so wrapped up in our work that people can have a hard time in that experience of retirement, either if it was forced or voluntary. You know, who am I? Do I matter anymore? What's the purpose of me being here? And so these people at this company and other workers, I mean, your listeners no doubt see lots of older workers all over the place. These are all people who are finding some kind of meaning and sense of purpose in their lives.
I'm speaking with Katrin Lynch and Kevin Cahill. Katrin Lynch is an associate professor of anthropology at Olin College, and Kevin Cahill is a research economist with the Sloan Center on Aging and Work at Boston College. And we're talking about workers, older workers over 50, looking for work and the changing landscape of retirement. We're taking your calls. Are you someone who feels too young to retire but too old to start over? Were you able to retire early? Does retirement not seem like an option for you? We're at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. Are you over 50? Are you having to look for another job? And what has the job hunt been like? What kind of work are you taking on or willing to do? 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. As always, you can tweet us at Boss Public Radio or write to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Boston Public Radio. So now we see that we have a scenario that I think a lot of people would call an anomaly with the Vita Needle company. That, I mean, that's just, you know, what we hear all the time. And certainly as I've been sitting behind this mic, story after story of either baby boomers that won't get out of the way. they have a choice to stay and they won't get out of the way. Younger people who can't find work, or older people, as we're talking about, being forced out involuntarily, as Kevin Cahill has mentioned. But nowhere in that scenario have I heard a story about older workers being targeted as valuable, as having a lot of experience, not left to share, but plenty to share, and having a successful business be based on those folks. And by the way, I just wanted you to add before I move back to Kevin Cahill that you said in your writings you were having a hard time keeping up with those workers.
Yes, definitely. Right. So I spent about 5 years on this research, but one summer I worked on the factory floor. That's something anthropologists like to do and immerse themselves in the communities they're studying. And I would work next to Rosa, for instance, who was only 96 at the time. And she, you know, she was, we were packaging up needles and she was counting by fours. So I was counting by two. We had to put 300 in a box at once. And so I'd say 2, 4. And she looked at me and she said, no, 4, 8, 12, you know, and she went off. And so, you know, it's a funny little anecdote, but also I spent some time with Dr. Paul Raya, who's with the Mass Alzheimer's. He visited one of my classes last year and he talked to the students about, you know, one of the things that we see is so important to people, maintaining cognitive health as they get older is being active and being in control of your environment. And Rosa, who's sitting there counting by fours up to 300 as she counts needles, I mean, that's pretty active. That's keeping your brain going. And so there's lots of social benefits, economic benefits of work, but also definitely health benefits, both mental health and physical health and cognitive health.
But Kevin, as I've said, that's Vita Needle seems to be an anomaly from what I've heard sitting here. So what percentage of the workers over 50, you know, we keep hearing as these jobs reports come out, there's a clump of people who have just given up looking because they can't find work. I'm curious if you know, are a large part of that number folks over 50?
There's kind of multiple sides to that. So the first is, if you look at just straight up unemployment among people who are 55 and older, the rate is lower than the overall population. So in December, the unemployment rate for those 55 and older is about 6%, a little bit less. And for the general population overall, it's about 7.8%. And the story there is what some people take away from that is that, well, older workers have a lower unemployment rate than the population as a whole. You know, be quiet. You know, basically, other people have it worse than you do. But what's hidden in that number is if you look at the length of unemployment, so those who are long-term unemployed, those who have been looking for work and can't find it, for those who are 55 and older, the average spell is over 1 year. It's about 55 weeks. Whereas for the general population, it's more like 35 weeks, which is still very high. So what you end up seeing is, you know, it may be true that the unemployment rate is lower for older workers, those 55 and older. But for those who actually are out of work, they're out of work for much longer period of time than others. And that in and of itself is a little bit troubling because, you know, the longer you're out of work, you know, the harder it is to find work. So, you know, older Americans are experiencing, you know, that hardship in just a different way than the overall population of Americans. If you look at labor force participation, Cali, it's actually gone up for older workers, and that's part of that trend towards an end towards earlier and earlier retirement. So if you look at those who are 65 and older, you'll see increases in their labor force participation in recent years.
All right. Diane from Melrose, you're on Boston Public Radio, 89.7.
Hello.
Hello.
Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too.
I thought I'd call in and just mention that I am a 58-year-old nurse. I have probably about 22 years of nursing experience, and with a thought towards furthering my career, I did get my master's degree. I've been looking for work for over a year now, and I moved from Pennsylvania up to Massachusetts with the idea that there will be more teaching positions. And what I'm actually finding is that not only are there very few teaching positions, but now they've raised the bar and they need doctorates. But even just for regular nursing positions, the positions available have become per diem positions, positions that are less than part-time, no benefits whatsoever. One or two days a week, they can call you off any time. And I just never pictured being in this position, at this age.
Let me let my guests respond, because Diane, as I understand it, there's a nursing shortage, and they keep trying to train more nurses. So this is a very skilled area, you would think, Kevin, Katrin, that, you know, this would be a no-brainer, so to speak.
I'll just say Diane's experience is not uncommon in any way. I mean, one thing that gets masked when you look at employment is people sometimes think of it as a 0-1. You're either not employed or you're employed. But one thing Diane just mentioned is, you know, there are per diem positions and there are part-time positions. You know, people who want to be working full-time but can't find full-time work, so they're left looking for different kinds of work. But, you know, I think one thing to say is this pattern of working at a career job, you mentioned you were 22 years as an RN, and then you're looking to try something different. You are having a little bit of difficulty, it sounds, actually finding another job. But that pattern is actually quite familiar, you know, among older Americans. Your experience of being out, you know, looking for work for more than a year, again, is spot on with a lot of your, you know, contemporaries.
We're at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. We're talking about older workers, folks over 50, looking for work. And thank you, Carol, having difficulty, whether they're looking for work as a next step in doing something interesting and fulfilling, or having to look for work where they need another job to pay the bills. Either way, they're having some difficulty, and we are here with two folks who have studied this quite a bit and have noticed some permanent changes coming in how we think about retirement and we think about older workers in the country. So, Katrin, how would you respond to our last caller?
I was thinking while she was talking about, it's important to think about how you experience work in different ways at different points in your life course, right? So we think about different points of your life. Like when you're just out of college, you might be seeking certain things out of work that might be different when you're in your 50s, different when you're in your 90s or 100. And so while with changes in the economy and in how long people are living and the fact that retiring at 65 might not make sense if you're going to live until you're 95, with all those changes, we also need to think about different kinds of work opportunities that should be provided. You know, our society should, I think, work to provide different opportunities for people to be able to find work that satisfies people's needs at different stages of their lives.
Carol from Newton, go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio.
Yes, thank you very much. I wanted to respond to something that both of your speakers addressed, and really whether someone over 50 leaves the workforce voluntarily or involuntarily, we find that people are really looking for different kinds of opportunities at this life stage. And one of your speakers mentioned the importance of having meaning in the work that we do. And I'm over 60 myself, and I recently started a new position with a program that we brought to Boston called ReServe Greater Boston. And this program actually helps people over the age of 55 do just that. It connects professionals with part-time stipended work opportunities in the nonprofit and public sector, because these individuals are really interested in working in new ways and in continuing to make a contribution and doing something meaningful to help solve social problems. So this is one way that people who are stuck and really finding they can't get back into what they've been doing before and may want to try something new have an opportunity to try this out. And it's really been very well received so far.
Oh, thank you so much for the call. We're at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. Is there a job you're willing to take if you can't find the kind of work that Carol was speaking of that fulfills her? What kind of work is it if you're willing to take on or willing to do? 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. Bobby from Boston, go ahead, please.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I just happened to be in the car when I was listening to all that you were saying, which I find ironic. I still work. I'm 66 years old, almost. I'm vital. I'm young. I wish I had the energy when I was 30 that I now have. I go to the gym. I work full time. I volunteer. My grandchild-to-be is going to be far, 33,000 miles away, so I won't be involved a lot with that. And I look at the next 35 years of my life with the longevity that I know I'm going to have unless I get hit by a bus because my mother is so vital at 92. And I say to myself, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? People keep waiting for me to retire. And I keep jokingly say, yes, I should retire. And then I think to myself, when my friends all say they're retiring, I say, what are you going to do?
Well, what do you do now? What do you do for work now?
I work in healthcare.
Okay. All right.
And I have a great job. And I have flexibility. I have all the things that one could ask for. And I could do that continuously because they'll never get rid of me because I do it well. But what happens? What happens? I cannot imagine being there till I'm 80. And I want to know that I will be somewhere.
Do you need to work, or are you?
I think I need to work. I think I need to work on many levels. I'm middle class. I'm not rich, and I've gotten used to being comfortable going shopping if I want to buy something, that kind of thing. I'm not frivolous, but I also have children. You want to give gifts. You want to do other things.
So it's a lifestyle choice more than you have to work.
I don't have to work, but when I look at if I were to retire, I would just have my Social Security and just a little bit. I don't have a pension, and so I would have that, and I would have a little bit of savings, not much, certainly not enough to really live it up. So I could reduce all of my self. I could, you know, and do nothing, not go out to eat, or which I'm starting to learn to do now. But I'm thinking about my mind and my skills and all the things that I can contribute and make a difference with the skills that I have. I have a resume that reads like a manuscript. And yet, I feel like there'll be no place for me. I remember my mom saying this to me when she did retire in her 70s. And she said, wait, you'll see when you get older, you become invisible.
I think, Bobby, you're speaking for a lot of people, and I'm going to let my guests respond. But thank you for your thoughtful comments.
Pleasure.
So there's a couple things going on here. Kevin, she points out that she maybe doesn't have to work, but then again, she does because she wouldn't have much. She doesn't have a pension. She's got, you know, Social Security. We have real economic realities that you've spoken to. So this is more a necessity, And to you, Katrin, she's completely freaked out about the possibility of losing her job. So, Kevin, I'll let you respond first.
Yeah, you know, I think we should all be cheering Bobby. That mindset of wanting to work, of having energy, is wonderful, and we should be encouraging it much more as a society. You know, Bobby used this phrase of, you know, people. She, if I understood her right, saying that she felt as though people were waiting for her to retire.
Yes.
You know, that concept is awful. That is a terrible way to look at older workers in America.
But Kevin, I got to interrupt you and say, I've had a lot of young people in here to say, will the baby boomers get out of the way so I can have a job? I mean, that's a reality too.
It's a reality, and it's flawed logic, Kelly. So this idea of, and I've heard it too, you know, that older Americans should step aside, and by doing so, they'll free up a job for younger workers. You know, that fits this model of a boxed, what economists call a boxed economy view. So it applies in the short term, and then it applies to when you're thinking about one firm. So if you're a particular employer at you know, today, the January 22nd, and you have one of your older workers decides to retire, you know, the idea is that frees up a spot for a younger worker, and, you know, so they can hire a younger worker with an older worker retiring. But that concept, the boxed economy view, just absolutely breaks down when you think of the economy as a dynamic, moving, you know, construction where people, you know, where jobs are constantly creative, making way for new modes of production.
And older workers with a lot of information and skill and know-how.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, economies grow, they expand, you know, obviously they shrink, as we all know. But the concept of the boxed economy view is just falls apart when you think over time. So it's certainly not the case that older workers are, you know, taking jobs away from younger ones. What we really should be focusing on is growth and making jobs more available generally.
Let me let Katrin get in on this.
So when I listen to Bobby, she articulated all sorts of responses to that boxed economy idea, because she was talking about, sure, I don't need to work in the monetary sense, but I need to work in lots of senses. But she also referred to buying gifts for her grandchildren. She referred to going out to lunch with friends. Those are things that she's obviously participating in the economy. She's not just sucking up a job and holding on to the money. She's contributing to a vital economy. So when I hear people saying, you know, old people are taking jobs from younger workers, and people criticize Vita Needle for that. I hear a lot of strong response against that. But the Vita Needle workers and people like Bobby are a really important part of our economy. And not only does Bobby want to buy gifts for her grandchildren and go out for lunch, because it's not just a frivolous thing, it's also keeping her alive and keeping her socially engaged. And the longer workers stay alive, the more they're being vibrant and healthy, too.
Katrin, I also wanted you to speak to the piece that you wrote for the New York Times called Over 50 and Under No Illusions. This is about another author, which had some really interesting points in here about what Bobby mentioned, which is thinking about reducing a lifestyle in order to maybe have another reality if she had to stop working. But, you know, trying to figure out if there's a way to do that and keep alive in the way that you're talking about.
Right. Well, and Bobby said something which I imagine Kevin would have lots to say about. She used the word flexibility. And she said, my job right now is really great. It's flexible. And we hear a lot about older workers wanting work, but wanting it in a different way than they may have experienced work before. Wanting to be able to have part-time hours, to be able to make hours that work for them so they can also live that retirement dream, maybe. So Bobby is articulating, how am I going to hold on to something? I don't really want to be here until I'm 80, but I also don't want to do nothing. And so she's at that critical juncture. That New York Times article also, that profiled people who are very creative in their 50s and 60s about saying, okay, I'm at a point where I actually have to find something, and how will I do that? Because people realizing, I need the money, but I also need to work for other reasons. And I'm always interested in how the conversation often comes to this question of, do you need to work? And we have to think about what that means, about what work provides us in addition to a paycheck.
Kevin, last word. You've made the point that employers are going to have to hire older workers. We're talking now in a space where some are deciding not to. Others think the Vita Needle experiment or example is something weird or maybe not helpful for the rest of society. But because of the economic realities, there is a point now where they have to hire older workers because of the realities of the workforce. And that's it. So we got to change some of these attitudes that Katrin has been talking about. We have to respond to what some of the callers are saying, and yet it seems to be a slow process.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but when I say things like, you know, employees will have no choice to hire older workers, the reality there is more demographic change than economic, although those are certainly linked. You know, the idea is that we're growing older as a population. And if you look at the fraction of the labor force that's 55 and older, it's currently about 20%. But Bureau of Labor Statistics projects in the next 10 years that'll increase 5 percentage points to 25%. So just looking at the numbers, the pool of workers from which employers can choose workers will be much older. And at some point, we're going to have an economy that has a full-blown recovery, and employers will be looking to hire people generally, much more so than they are now. And their pool of workers to choose from will be older. So it's just a reality that older workers are just going to be a larger fraction of the labor force.
Well, I'm personally excited about Vita Needle right here in Massachusetts being a kind of role model for what may be really around the corner for a lot of other companies. Mm-hmm. So thanks very much, Kevin Cahill, research economist with the Sloan Center on Aging and Work at Boston College, and Katrin Lynch, an associate professor of anthropology at Olin College and author of Retirement on the Line. We've been talking about working later in life and about how the economic realities are changing, what it means to get older, and what it means to retire. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Jared Bowen, back in Studio 3.
Hi, Kelly. We've been thinking a lot about Dr. Martin Luther King in the last couple of days, especially after yesterday. And there's a play at Central Square Theater right now that is really taking a nuanced view of Dr. King. And it's a play called The Mountaintop. It's about the last night he spent at the Lorraine Motel. We're going to be talking to its stars in just a second.
All right, there you have it. Jared Bowen, arts reporter, right here with Mountaintop. Thanks so much. I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio.
Intelligent, but not yet equivalent.